Hey, good morning, church. It's so nice to be back in this place. Actually, this is the first time for me to be preaching in this sanctuary without anyone here. So this Sunday, it will also be the first time I'm gonna see myself preaching. Unique kayo ni siya, no? Okay, this is the first time makikita ko sa kukulingon magwali. Anyway, our passage for today is Mark chapter 14. We'll be reading verse 22 to 25. So if you have your Bibles, wherever you are, maybe you're on your bed, you're seated, wherever you are at home, I'd just like to request you to please stand as we read the Word of God together. Mark chapter 14, verse 22 to 25. It says here, "And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it, and he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" So guys, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. We thank you for this time, O God, that we can hear from your word, O Lord. We pray, O God, that you'll be the one to minister to each and every hearts. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you anoint my lips of clay. Allow me, Lord, to go beyond my preparation. And I pray, O God, that you just be the one, Lord, to speak to each and every one of us. And Lord, whatever will be accomplished, Lord, in this preaching this morning, we just want to give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, guys, the passage we just read is quite familiar to most of us. And sometimes, because of its familiarity, we tend to lose hold of its precious significance. And of course, the passage we just read speaks about the institution of the Lord's Supper, or more popularly known as the communion. Now, this morning, we're going to shy away from our narrative from the book of Mark, although our passage is taken there. This morning, we will dig into the significance of the Lord's Supper. And through this, I hope we will be able to refresh ourselves with the valuable truth and precious significance of the Lord's Supper in our lives. Now, there are two things that we will be discussing about the Lord's Supper this morning. Number one, why we do it. And number two, how we do it. And in order for us to know these two things, we need to go to the parallel verses of this passage. Now, what's remarkable about this night of our Lord Jesus Christ's life here on earth is that it's recorded in all the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of them gave an account about this momentous night of our Lord's ministry here on earth. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded the actual supper, while John wrote about the events and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ on that particular night. Okay, so two things: why we do this and how we do this. So number one, why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Why do we do this? Now, there are at least two main reasons on why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the first one can be found in Luke chapter 22, verse 19 to 20, a very familiar passage to all of us. It says here, "And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup is poured out for you, is a new covenant in my blood.'" Now, the Apostle Paul echoed the same statement of our Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 25. Here's again another very familiar passage to most of us. It says here, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So guys, I want us all to underscore the words "in remembrance of me." Luke mentioned it in the gospel, while the Apostle Paul echoed the same statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So the first reason why we do this is because the Lord Jesus Christ himself commanded us to do so in remembrance of him. So the Lord's Supper is basically about remembering. The communion is about remembrance. So guys, since it is about remembrance, we have to ask ourselves, what is there to remember? Unsa may dapat nato mahinumduman? So guys, it also tells us that as we celebrate the communion, our minds are not supposed to go on a neutral mode and just allow it to wander from east to west. We cannot partake of the Lord's Supper while our minds are thinking of so many other things. Maybe you're thinking of business, thinking of your problems, thinking of this, thinking of that. It's not supposed to be that way because the communion is supposed to be a time of solemn remembrance. So church, if the communion is about remembrance, we have to ask ourselves, what is there to remember? Unsa may angay natong inumduman? Well, two things. The Lord Jesus Christ said there are two things that we need to remember. One, the bread, symbolizing the Lord's body. And second one, the cup, symbolizing the Lord's blood. So in essence, in the communion, we remember the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is there to remember about the Lord's body? Now the Lord Jesus says, this is my body which is given for you. So we remember that the Lord's body was given for us. So what does this mean that the Lord's body was given for us? Now church, we need to remember that before the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is already God. He is the God who made the heavens and the earth. He is the God who's worshipped by legions of angels in heaven. He's the God of glory, the Lord of hosts, the King of majesty. There's no splendor and beauty that can ever compare to Him. And He is worshipped perfectly in heaven. But yet, at one point in eternity, this King of glory became a helpless babe, humbly born in a manger. Why? Because even at birth, in obedience to the Father, His body was given for you and for me. Now, the Holy Lord of hosts walked the dusty roads of man. He overcame every temptation that was thrown at Him. He fellowshiped with sinners. He healed the sick. He taught the Word of God with authority. He showed us the way. He served tirelessly. He loved the unlovable, defended the helpless, and gave hope to the hopeless. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. Why? Because His body was given for you and me. Then this righteous Lamb of God, the light of the world, He was betrayed, He was spat upon, He was ridiculed, He was beaten, He was whipped, He wore the crown of thorns, He was nailed to the cross, He was brutally killed. Why? Because His body was given for you and me. Church, as if that was not enough, when the Lord Jesus Christ, alone and excruciating pain, hanging at the cross, at that very moment, God's anger towards every sin committed in the world, past, present, and future, the sins of the rapist, the sins of the terrorist, your sins, my sins, every sin in the whole world during that time was bore upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now while hanging at the cross in excruciating pain, as if that was not enough, at that particular moment, God the Father poured out His wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ. While hanging at the cross, the Lord Jesus suffered the full strength of God's anger, the full strength of God's wrath. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ's body was given for you and me. At that particular instance, Jesus, the Lamb of God, bore our sins. He was crushed, He was killed, He was bitten. Why? Because His body was given for you and me. Now church, the Lord Jesus Christ lived the perfect holy life that you and I can never live. He paid the penalties of our sins that we could never ever pay. His body was given for you and me. Now if you come to think about this church, if you just meditate on the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, right from His birth up to His death on the cross, after His resurrection and ascension, you'll come to realize that His life was all about serving. His life was about obedience to the Father and serving the people He loved, serving you and me. Now, this is what it meant when the Lord Jesus Christ, that His body was given for us. So guys, the next time you hold that communion bread or that element in your hand, think about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the way He lived His life. Remember the way He saved you. Remember what He has done for you. Remember that His body was given for you. Now, there are two things, right? We remember the body, then we remember the blood. So what's in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? What's in His blood? Now, the Lord Jesus says, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So the cup is a symbol of our Lord Jesus Christ's blood, in which we have the new covenant with God. Again, the cup symbolizes the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which we have new covenant with God. Now, this is what Pastor John Piper said about celebrating the Lord's Supper. He says, "Celebrating the Lord's Supper is a celebration of how the Lord Jesus established the new covenant." Let me say that again. Celebrating the Lord's Supper is a celebration of how the Lord Jesus established the new covenant. So, church, it is by the blood shedding of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have this new covenant with God. Had the Lord Jesus not shed His blood, there would have not been a new covenant between us and God. There wouldn't have been salvation by faith, the salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the new covenant, there is no salvation that we can talk about. So very briefly now, let's look into what this new covenant is all about. Unsa magyud ini ang new covenant? Now, John Piper suggested a scripture passage that will summarize the terms of what this new covenant is. And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 31. And we'll be reading verse 31. Then let's go directly to verse 33 and 34. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31. And we'll go directly to verse 33 and 34. Now, Jeremiah 31 says here, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Now, church, the new covenant mentioned here by Jeremiah is exactly the new covenant Jesus spoke about at the night of that Passover, which was fulfilled at the shedding of His blood. So what's so special about this new covenant? Unsa magyuday na aning new covenant? As we read further in verse 33 and 34, the Lord God the Father gave promise about this new covenant. Mauni siya ang pasabot sa new covenant. So it says here in verse 33 and 34, "For this is the new covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord." Says here, "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So church, what's the big deal about this new covenant? Unsa magyud na ka-special kaayo ni new covenant? Well, there are four things. There are four precious things in the new covenant. Four promises from the Lord. Now here in Jeremiah 31, 33, God says here, "I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts." The first promise of the new covenant is a transformed heart. It's a transformed heart. Now God says, "I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts." Now, God promised here that He will put His law within man and write it in their hearts. Now, brothers and sisters, you've got to understand that this solves the problem of man's rebellion. Man no longer have to look unto a law that's written on tablets where there's intense pressure to follow it, where there's great struggle to obey it. But instead, God said He will place that law within man and write it in man's heart. So instead, having pressure from without because of the law written on tablets, God said, I will put that law in man's heart. I will write it in man's heart so that man will have the desire to obey His law. So we are talking about a transformed heart here. A regenerated heart, if you may. Now, when God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, He said it this way. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27. It says here, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and will put it within you. And I will remove a heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rule. So the new covenant is about a transformed heart. It's about a regenerated heart, where the law of God is written into the heart of man. So guys, if you're a true blue, genuine, born-again Christian, I think it goes without a saying that you will have that inner desire to obey what the Lord God has commanded. Kung tinuod yung kanga Christian, you will really have the desire to follow what the Word of God is telling us to do. And that is what the new covenant is all about. The laws of God is written into the hearts of man. So number one, one of the promises in the new covenant is that man will have a transformed heart. Man will have a heart to love the Lord, to follow His statutes, to obey His command. Now the second promise is complete redemption and total acceptance. God said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. So this means we belong to God's kingdom. We belong to Him forever. God is unashamed to call us His own. We are forever His and He is forever ours. Hello guys, isn't that amazing? That we belong to God and He belongs to us. We are His forever. And we have to realize that this was accomplished through and by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are completely accepted by God. Isn't that amazing, guys? Now, the third promise here is an intimate fellowship. Now, God continues to say, this again, still part of the new covenant, He said, no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. In the new covenant, God promised that the people shall know Him. Now, church, knowing God is what eternal life is all about. Let me say that again. Knowing God is what eternal life is all about. In John chapter 17, verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ put it this way. He said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, eternal life for the Lord Jesus Christ is about knowing God, is about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, church, in this particular verse, the word know that the Lord Jesus Christ used here in Greek is the word ginosko. And ginosko connotes an intimate knowledge of one another, like a husband knows his wife and a wife knows her husband. So this verse goes like this. The Lord Jesus Christ says, now this is eternal life, that you may ginosko, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. In other words, eternal life for the Lord Jesus Christ is having an intimate knowledge, intimate relationship with God and with Himself, knowing each other intimately. And here in the new covenant, God promised that His people shall know Him. We will know God. We will have that intimate knowledge of God. We will have that intimate relationship with God. So guys, this is one of the great promises of the new covenant. And again, this was accomplished by the shedding of our Lord Jesus Christ's blood at the cross. Yes, now we can know the Father intimately. We can know the Lord Jesus Christ intimately. We can have this intimate relationship with God and Jesus because of what Jesus has done for us at the cross. Now another promise, last but not the least in the new covenant, complete forgiveness and permanent cancellation of sin. Now God said, "For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Now guys, isn't the new covenant amazing? Isn't the new covenant amazing? The Bible promises us that in the new covenant, there is forgiveness of sin, total and complete acceptance in the Lord Jesus Christ, a transformed heart. You know, this is just so amazing, guys. And all this had been accomplished because of the bloodshed of our Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, we belong to Him forever because of what He's done for us at the cross. So again, all these promises were accomplished by the blood of Jesus, a transformed heart, complete acceptance to God, intimate fellowship with God, and of course, the forgiveness of sins. Now, in the New Testament, the new covenant was affirmed again in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. And let me just read this quickly. It says here, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us, which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." So church, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us at the cross when He shed His blood for us. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, let's remember the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that His body was given for you and me. His life was given for you and me. His blood was shed for us. And this confirms our new covenant with God. So that's the first reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. First, is remembering all those things. And secondly, the reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. It says here, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Now here, Paul gives us another purpose for observing this ordinance, if you may. Paul gives us another reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. He said it's a proclamation of Christ's death until He returns. Now church, well, the remembrance part is an inner reflection, right? When we take part, when we partake of the communion, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we meditate on the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember those things. It's an inner reflection, right? Well, the remembrance is an inner reflection. The proclamation part is an outer expression. Okay, two things. We remember and we proclaim. So the remembering is inner, the proclamation is outer. Now, when you take part of the communion, you are declaring it to the public. You're announcing the death and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the communion is actually a testimony to the unbelieving world that we are one with Jesus and we proclaim His death while at the same time we wait for His imminent return. Now proclamation is like baptism. It's like a public proclamation of your faith. No, just like baptism, you declare to the public that you belong to Christ. And the same is true for communion, where you're proclaiming to the public that you know and acknowledge the death, the resurrection of Christ, and you're acknowledging that He's once again coming in glory. Now, remember our trip to Israel when we went there 2 years ago? We remember we celebrated the Lord's Supper in the Garden Tomb, a place believed to be where the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, during that time, katuamo ang tour guide, he was an unbeliever. Ang tour guide namo dito sa Israel, he was an unbeliever. So as we were celebrating the Lord's Supper, he was just observing us. Now, I don't know kung unsay nasod siya huna-huna when we celebrated the Lord's Supper during that time, but my point is, we as believers, we have a testimony to tell as we celebrated the Lord's Supper. So this is what proclamation is all about. You declare to unbelievers the death and the coming of Christ. Okay? So those two things, why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So we can say that the communion really involves looking back to the cross, meditating on the present, and at the same time, looking forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the essence of communion. So that's number one. That's the reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So it's both a remembrance and a proclamation. Okay? Now, number two, how do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? How do we celebrate the communion? Now, church, we're not going into, if I may say, the lesser essentials about the Lord's communion, no? About the Lord's Supper. And by that, I mean, we're not going to talk about what elements we're going to use, who are allowed to serve in the communion, what type of bread we should use, should it be crackers, should it be, you know, a bread from Julie's Bake Shop. We're not going to go into those things because I believe those are the lesser essentials, if you may. Now, I'm not going to talk about who should serve in the communion. Should it be the deacons only? Should it be the pastors only? We're not going to dwell in these issues because, again, they are lesser essentials. And we must understand that different local churches have their own different preferences on how they celebrate the Lord's Supper. So let's just respect that, no? However, what we want to discuss this morning are the clear indication from scriptures on how the Lord's Supper is supposed to be celebrated. Again, we will discuss the things from scripture that clearly indicates on how the Lord's Supper is supposed to be indicated. Now, there are actually two things. Now, the first one is that the scripture is quite clear that the Lord's Supper should be celebrated by believers only. It is an exclusive celebration for those who have given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an exclusive thing. Now, as believers, we have a moral and spiritual obligation that we should disallow, of course, in a polite way, we should disallow unbelievers in taking part sa Lord's Supper. Now, I remember during the kung bata pa ko, when I was still small, muingon akong mama nga, pakalawaton tani si Jojo, aron mabuutan. Now, guys, we should erase that thoughts in our minds. Because the Bible clearly tells us that the Lord's Supper is an exclusive celebration for those who have given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say it again, as believers, we have a moral and spiritual obligation to disallow unbelievers from partaking the communion, from taking part in the Lord's Supper. And secondly, the Lord's Supper is to be celebrated in the gathering of the church. It is to be done in a gathering. You cannot do it on your own. It is to be done with the body of Christ, as the body of Christ gets together. And we can read about this in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 alone, Paul mentions it 5 times that it is during a gathering that the Lord's Supper is to be celebrated. So the Lord's Supper is an exclusive celebration for believers, and it is to be celebrated as the church gathers together. However, I would like to make some situational exceptions. Like the pastor maybe can visit a sick person in the hospital or someone who's not able to make it to church. I think the Lord's Supper can be celebrated that way. There's also no clear biblical restrictions about these practices. Now, in fact, back 7 years ago, I remember during that time, I just recovered from cancer. I just had my surgery, and I was quite depressed during that time. Now, one pastor suggested to me and my wife, giingnan ko niya nga, why are you so depressed? Why don't you just try to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? Now, he went on to say, Joe, this is just a suggestion, and I strongly suggest this. Why don't you and your wife regularly celebrate the Lord's Supper? Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, during that time, yes, my wife and I, we did it. We meditated on what the Lord has done for us. We remembered the cross, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember how much the Lord Jesus loved us. And guys, to make the long story short, it actually helped me recover my spiritual strength, if you may, meditating on the goodness of God. As Michelle and I, we celebrated the Lord's Supper together. It was just such an intimate time with the Lord. And my point is this, whatever helps you to love the Lord Jesus Christ more, whatever draws you to Himself more and more, then go ahead. There are no biblical restrictions for that. But however, in as much as possible, we do the Lord's Supper as a gathering of church, no? During church gathering, mao man ang indication sa scripture. Okay? Now guys, the Bible is quite clear on how we are supposed to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's an inclusive celebration for believers, and it's supposed to be celebrated during a gathering. Now moving on, not only does the scripture tell us on how we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper, it also tells us how not to celebrate it. And I want to give more emphasis on this matter because this is quite serious and it carries with it severe consequence. No, mas ganahan ko musturya about ani. Now let's read on 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 27 to 20. It says here 1 Corinthians 11 verse 27 to 20. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Now verse 28 says here, let a person examine himself then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Now guys, we must understand that the Apostle Paul was addressing this to believers. He was addressing this to people who are in the church. So this tells us that there are people within the church who partakes of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And guys, we must be mindful of this because the Word of God is very stern in its warning against such sin. Now in the New Living Translation, verse 29 is said this way. It says here, for if you eat of the bread or drink of the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. So church, this tells us that if you are partaking of the communion in an unworthy manner, you are literally inviting God's judgment upon yourself. And let me tell you guys, this is no ordinary judgment. Paul goes on to say in verse 30, he says here, this is why many of you are weak and sick and some have died. So you see here, guys, partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner can bring God's judgment upon ourselves, which will result to weakness or being sick physically, and even some will die from it. And this is a direct result of God's judgment upon those who partake of the communion in an unworthy manner. So guys, you see, this is a very serious matter. This is a very serious matter. So what did Paul mean to say when he said that some in the Corinthian church were celebrating the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? Now, as we see God's judgment upon this sin, I think it is wise that we understand what it means to take part of the communion in an unworthy manner. But surely we don't want to invite God's judgment upon ourselves, right? So what is partaking of the communion in an unworthy manner? Now there's actually a misconception among many Christians about this statement today. Now most Christians think that an unworthy manner is having an unconfessed sin before taking part of the Lord's communion or the Lord's Supper. No, daghan kay nagunahuna karon, if you ask them unsa man ang unworthy manner by taking the communion, chances are most answers you'll get is this way. Na kailangan ko mag-umpisal before I partake or take part in the communion. Now guys, this is a misconception. Now while this idea may not be wrong, but this is not entirely true as well. Yes, confession may be a part of something we do before celebrating the Lord's Supper, but we must understand that it is beyond that. Now notice in verse 28, Paul didn't say, confess your sins before partaking of the Lord's Supper. No, Paul didn't say that. But instead he said, examine yourself. Examine yourself before you partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, to understand what Paul meant here about examining oneself is that we need to look at the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, in the preceding verses, Paul addressed the Corinthian church in their lack of reverence for the Lord's Supper. Now, some brethren were coming in drunk. I mean, there was a great division in the church during that time. People were so unloving. The poor brothers were left out. They were starving, while the rich, they were gloating in their excess. And people were acting in pride, and they were just plainly irreverent to God and to the people of God. And guys, this happened before they take part of the Lord's Supper. So you can see the arrogance that the people, the church of Corinth displayed. No, gabi ka arrogant. There's no reverence towards the Lord's Supper. There's no reverence towards God. Now, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that their life was so out of character with the Lord's new covenant. I mean, they were supposed to celebrate the blood of Jesus, which brings about the new covenant we have with God. But yet, their life is so out of touch, is so out of sync, is so out of character with God's new covenant. Now, remember, in the new covenant, God says He will put His law within men and write it within their hearts. Now, again, as we mentioned earlier, the new covenant is about a transformed heart. It's about a heart that loves to do the things of God. It's about a heart that loves to obey God. You know, but these people here, before they celebrated the Lord's Supper, their heart is just so out of character, out of sync to the new covenant that God has established. So Paul says here, examine your heart. Examine your heart if you're truly aligned to that new covenant that God has established for us. Now, taking part of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner simply means that you're taking communion or you're celebrating the Lord's Supper, but yet your heart, your life is out of character, is out of sync to God's new covenant. So church, what holds true then still holds true now. You cannot partake of the Lord's Supper if your heart is out of character of God's new covenant. You cannot take part of the Lord's Supper if your life is beyond the nature of the new covenant. So guys, examine yourself. Because clearly you cannot go on taking part of the Lord's Supper, but yet you have cherished sins in your life. Otherwise, you would be inviting God's judgment upon yourself. So examine yourself, guys. What's making your life out of character to God's new covenant? Again, new covenant is about a transformed heart. It's a heart that loves God. It's a heart that's willing to follow, that desires to follow the commandments of God. So what's causing your life to be out of sync? What's causing your life to be out of character of this new covenant? Is it money? Is it an extramarital affair? Is it lust? Is it pornography? I don't know, but surely God knows, guys. That's why Paul said you've got to examine yourself. And the point is this. Don't go on partaking the Lord's Supper. Don't go on taking communion without settling these issues. Because again, the Bible carries with it a very severe warning to those who take part in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. But the beautiful thing about this, guys, is part of the new covenant is that God also promises that He will forgive our sins and will remember our sins no more. So if somehow this message spoke to you, the Bible promises us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So then, if we the moment we truly kanang kasabot na yun taba sa atong calling as new covenant Christians, then that's the time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So guys, taking part on the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner is more than just an unconfessed sin. It's the way you and I conduct our lives, the way we live our life. So I hope this made it clear that we celebrate that sa Lord's Supper, dili ra ingon nga mangumpisal ta, but we should also examine ourselves that we are not taking part of the communion in an unworthy manner. Okay, so those two things. Why we celebrate the Lord's Supper is because we remember the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. While at the same time, we proclaim His death and resurrection. And secondly, how we celebrate the Lord's Supper? We celebrate the Lord's Supper by making sure that our lives is in line, in sync, in character with the new covenant we have from God. Now guys, in closing, I'd just like us to read Mark chapter 14, verse 25. This is after they celebrated the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus said something very special here. Mark 14, verse 25. It says here, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Now guys, the fruit of the vine means unmixed wine. And by the way, in scripture, there are two types of wine. The first one is this wine, this type of wine, the fruit of the vine. And another type of wine in scripture is mixed wine. No, sa atong generation, unsa man yung fruit of the vine? Well, these are the wine that makes gikan sa fruit. Ang mixed wine mo na sila mga emperador, mga Johnny Walker, kani mga bino nga gibuhat yun para makahubog ba. Now, the type of wine that the Lord Jesus Christ drank here was not a mixed wine, but fruit of the vine. Okay, let's make that clear. Now, guys, during the time of Jesus, wine is used for celebration. In fact, during this particular time, they were drinking wine because they were celebrating the Passover. And here in verse 25, the Lord Jesus Christ says two things here. He said He is not going to drink wine again until the kingdom of God is revealed. Now, this tells us, guys, that the Lord Jesus is not going to have the same celebration. He's not going to have that Lord's Supper celebration again until the time when His kingdom is being revealed. So here the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about a future kingdom. Now, some scholars believe that this is the kingdom where all of God's people are together with Him, where the great saints in the past and us in the present and the saints in the future are already together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is during this time that the Lord Jesus Christ will drink that fruit of the vine again. So guys, what does this tell you? What does this tell you? Well, first, it tells us that there's a future kingdom that awaits us. And second, someday, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have this particular celebration again. This tells us that at this moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for His people. The Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for me. The saints in heaven right now, they're waiting for us. And someday, if rapture doesn't take place, we will be waiting for the future saints. And one day, the one glorious day, when the people of God, when His kingdom is fully revealed, when we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be this particular celebration again, where the Lord Jesus will drink of the fruit of the vine again. Well, guys, can you imagine this? Celebrating the Lord's Supper in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Can you imagine that? Celebrating the Lord's Supper and you can see His nail-pierced hands. Celebrating the Lord Jesus Supper, the Lord's Supper and the Lord Jesus Christ is right in our midst. Can you imagine that, guys? Now that's amazing, isn't it? And that's what awaits us, for you and me who have given our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a proclamation of His death and an anticipation of His coming, anticipation of His return. There is going to be that great celebration in heaven where all of us, His people, will finally be together with Him forever. So church, this should affect the way we live our lives. This should affect the way we live our lives. The Lord has us covered in the past. He has us covered in the future. And definitely, He has us covered in the present. Okay? So this ends my sermon today. So I hope you've been blessed, and I'm excited to see myself on TV, okay? So guys, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank You, Lord, for the word that has been preached today. We humbly ask, O God, that you allow your word to minister to us, Lord, even in the days to come, in the months to come, and even in the years to come, Lord. And once again, we take this opportunity, we take this time, O Lord, to just thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you've done for us at the cross. Forgive us, O God, that many times we live our lives, O Lord, so out of character in the new covenant that you have for us. So, Lord, until the day you bring us home, teach us, Lord, to love you more and more. Teach us, Lord, to love your word, to love your commands, O God. And, Lord, whatever has been done and accomplished this morning, we just want to give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.